We have a prayer shawl that we're going to bless. May God's grace be upon this shawl, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place to ease pain and bring healing, sustaining and embracing on good days as well as difficult ones. May Kent be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love and healing. Blessed be God forever. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank
you.
In 2 weeks, on September 15th, we will be celebrating the rite of confirmation, affirmation of baptism. And in preparation for that, we have four confirmation candidates, and they each have prepared a faith statement to share with you. Next Sunday, on Rally Sunday, we'll hear three of those faith statements, and today we will hear one. And Maya Slaughter has her faith statement, and she's going to come forward now and share that with us. If you'd step up to the microphone.
I'll have to be honest with you. When I started writing this, I had no idea what to talk about. Unlike baptism, which was my parents' choice, confirmation is my choice. But I was still having a hard time writing a faith statement. I'm a sports person, and one day I started thinking and brainstorming and asking myself, who has been on my team from day one? Jesus has. In my eyes, a teammate isn't just someone that happens to be on your team. A teammate is someone that is always there to pick you up when you're down. A teammate is someone that you trust, someone that you can find comfort in. And that's exactly what Jesus is to me. My Bible verse, Joshua 1:9, says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." To me, that verse is very important because it essentially sums up why I have faith in God. He is always there with me and gives me courage and strength when I need it most. Every night, I pray and thank God for my many blessings and think about this verse and how he helps me every day. Jesus has given me some of the greatest gifts that I could ever have asked for. Thanks to my church family, I was able to go spend a week at Luther Glen Camp last summer, along with the other confirmation kids. My experience there could only be described as amazing. At the beginning of what I was expecting to be a very long week, I was regretting coming. I missed my family and wanted to be hanging out with friends. But by the end of the week, I couldn't believe that time had flown by so quickly. I didn't want to leave. In just a week, I had met so many people, learned dozens of fun songs, slept outside, planted vegetables, held baby goats, fed chickens, and braided a horse's hair. But, most importantly, my faith had been strengthened. I had met kids from all over California that had nothing but one thing in common with me, and that was our faith in God. He had united children and adults from all over California, and that, I think, is what made me so much more invested in my faith after leaving camp. He had brought together kids from all over, and in my mind, if Jesus could do that, imagine all the other amazing deeds he could accomplish in my life. He is an amazing teammate. Thank you.
What a beautiful beginning for our service this morning as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world.
We present Chance Henry Burns for baptism.
Called by God's Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, Tara, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ?
I do.
As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and to nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Tara, do you promise to help Chance grow in the Christian faith and life? Do you intend to continue in the covenant of your baptism among God's people in this place? John and Lynn, family sponsors. Maggie and Kevin, parish sponsors. Do you promise to nurture Chance in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? People of God, do you promise to support Chance and his family and pray for them in their life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help
guide us. I'd invite you to stand, please, as we profess our faith. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Before we start this, I want the children to come forward, please. Any young people here, come on up. You were the first one to get up. All right. Come on up. Okay, so when I say we're going to renounce, we're going to do like this. Because we're going to push the devil back. Okay? And you all as well. Some of you, like me, need to push a little harder. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus. Reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O holy God. You are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your son Jesus promised to send the spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into those who are here baptized. By your Spirit, adopt us all as your children. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Oh, he has a tie on. I would cry too. Baby cries at his baptism to be the star singer in the choir. Chance, Henry. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Chance with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Oh. Sorry, right into the microphone. Henry, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome the newly baptized and his family to this community of faith.
We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God
and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Amen. Go to Sunday school. You have to go to Sunday school now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Alleluia. Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
The wicked will not be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is steadfast and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and find a way. The desires of the wicked will perish. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who has invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I listened to a sermon last week, and the story that the preacher told was one that I'd heard before, but it hit me as such an important lesson. I want to share that story with you. This is the story, and it's a true story, I might add. The pastor transformed himself into a homeless person, and he went to the 10,000-member church in Illinois, where he was to be introduced that Sunday as the new head pastor. He walked around his soon-to-be church for about a half an hour while it was filling up with church members for the worship service. Only three people out of the 7,000 to 10,000 people said hello to him. He had been asking the people for change so he could buy food. No one in the church gave him any change. He went into the sanctuary and he sat down in the front of the church. And then he was asked by one of the very well-trained and polite ushers if he would please take a seat in the back. They said that this front row was reserved for the new pastor and his family. He greeted people as he walked to the back of the church, and he was greeted back with stares and dirty looks and people who turned their heads from making eye contact with him. He took the back seat by the door, and the seat that the ushers had shown him. The family that was seated in that row got up and moved. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the announcements. At the end of the announcements, the congregation president got up at the lectern, and he was to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "I would like to introduce our new pastor." And the congregation was so happy that they finally got a pastor. They started clapping, and they were filled with joy and anticipation. And the homeless man in the back row stood up and started walking slowly down that long aisle. The clapping stopped, and all eyes were on him. He walked up to the altar, took the microphone from the congregation president who had been in on this, and he paused for a moment, and then he recited, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. When, Lord, did we do this?' And the king replied, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me.'" After he quoted this scripture, he looked out at the congregation and told them what he had experienced this morning. Then he said to them, "Today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus' disciples. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become disciples? When will you become disciples that God has called you to be?" We have a few new pastors in San Diego. Today is the third Sunday that Pastor Marcus Lorman has been at Shepherd of the Valley in La Mesa. And today is the first Sunday that Pastor Kurt Christensen will be at First Lutheran downtown. Now, I doubt that either of these new pastors used this method of greeting the congregation. But I can be sure that they are calling their congregations to be disciples, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Following the footsteps of Jesus should be more than just talk. It ought to be a lifestyle that others around you can love about you and share in. The pastor in this study, in this story, ended his introduction by saying, "Be a Christian all you want, but at least follow the teachings of Christ if you're going to claim that title. Don't just be a gathering of people, be disciples." Garrison Keillor used to have this, if you know him, that storyteller from the Midwest. He has this story, or this saying, that he says, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car, or hanging out at Krispy Kreme makes you a donut. So be a Christian. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us how to do that by teaching us about humility. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors in case they invite you in return, and then you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Did I hear that right? You will be blessed because they cannot repay you? The first thing we have to understand about this is that real humility doesn't make comparisons or seek rewards. Anyone who acts humbly because they think that that's the way to get ahead, or that they think that will make them look better, has completely missed the point. Whatever Jesus may mean here, he is not suggesting that we deliberately take the lower seat in order that we would be invited to the place that is higher. Real humility doesn't think quid pro quo. Real humility looks away from oneself. But there's more going on here. Being the radical that he is, Jesus isn't talking about the importance of humility. He is challenging the whole way of thinking about trying to keep score. It seems like that's really a part of the human condition. It goes way back to Cain and Abel, when Cain found that Abel's offering was accepted and his wasn't. He started keeping score. He kept track. And his scorekeeping led to murder. But Jesus has a different idea. "Don't invite your friends," he says. "They'll just pay you back." That's the thing. We keep score. You invite me to dinner, I'll invite you to dinner. You send me a Christmas card, I have to send you a Christmas card. That's just the way it works. But if we don't keep score, how will we know who's ahead? If we don't keep score, how can we keep it fair? How can we keep it even if we don't keep score? But Jesus has a different idea. Jesus says, don't keep score. Invite the poor and those who can't invite you back. Then you won't be thinking about getting paid back. You won't worry about the score. Jesus doesn't say, don't invite your friends, but just make sure that the others are invited as well. Invite the poor. Invite your friends. Invite your family. But just make sure that others, that no one is left out. Jesus says, in doing that, you will be blessed. You will be happy because they can't pay you back. One author wrote, happiness can never come in until the bookkeeping stops. If we could be freed from the necessity of keeping score, if we could live our lives trying to welcome people, to love people, to be kind to people, not because we think we should or because we think it will earn us points, but only because we see people as God sees them, then happiness can come in. Being a disciple is a life stance that brings true happiness. We helped set baby Chance on that path today. In the sacrament of baptism, he was and we are freed forever of the need to ever keep score. In baptism, Jesus says, God says to us, you are my beloved child. You belong to me, and nothing can separate you from my love. If that's who we are, if that is truly who we are, then why do we need to keep score? We have everything we need. We are winners already in God's eyes, and that's all that matters. When we come to the font for baptism, we are reminded again that this great gift that God has given, the gift of love and grace, is not dependent on our power or our status or prestige or goodness or accomplishments. We don't possess any of those things. If it all depended on keeping score, that little baby, even though he has quite the lungs, he wouldn't have a chance. Wouldn't have a chance. But we bring our children. We even bring infants to the font. Because here, in these waters, God says, in the eyes of the world, you're not so much. But in my eyes, you are the most important person in the world. And you, people of God, when you come to this table and hear the promise and receive the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you are told the same thing. In the eyes of the world, you're not that much. But in my eyes, God says, you are the most important person in the world. So important that you have been redeemed. You have been baptized. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. Don't keep score. St. Paul writes, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So if God doesn't keep score, why should we? We who have been splashed with the waters of baptism, who have been welcomed at this Eucharistic feast without money, without price. When we live by grace, then all of the scorekeeping can end. We have been washed in the water of life, sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. We don't need scorekeeping. Think about what our world would be like if we could all live in this freedom. We could stop calculating our social prestige, stop worrying about what others think. We can be kind and civil to everyone around us, particularly those who are not very often the recipients of that kind of kindness. What would it look like at your work or school or the places that you play sports or work out or socialize? What would it look like if we didn't keep score? If we looked out for those who seem to be off on the margins and invited them to be the center of our lives? In baptism and Holy Communion, we are freed from the constraints and the burdensome worries about what others might think. We are freed from experience the joy of sharing God's abundant grace and the gifts of dignity and worth and value for all of God's people. There's no need to keep score. You're already number one in God's books. Amen.